Our next Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 1. So Revelation 22, beginning at verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you spoke the universe into being, and you spoke that word into our hearts. And so we pray that you would be present with us by your Spirit to speak to us, to change us, to transform us, and to heal us. For your name's sake, amen. Well, it's great to be able to gather together on an evening like this and to be able to have a healing service. We've had it in the diary for a little while, and given the way things have been over recent weeks, it perhaps seems even more important to gather for a healing service. But as we come to something like this evening, there is an important truth that we need to deal with. Whether you've come excited or confused or apprehensive or whatever your mood is, there is an important truth that we need to grapple with whenever we get together for a healing service. And that truth is that healing is something we need. Now, maybe that's a very evident truth to you. Maybe it's something that doesn't need to be pointed out. You could tell me that right to begin with. Or maybe it's something that you've struggled with a little bit more. But healing is something we need, and it is something that we all need. And I'm guessing that has been a truth that has been impressed upon us greatly over the last few weeks as we've witnessed the spread of coronavirus around the world. Because a pandemic like we're experiencing at the moment is a vivid reminder that healing is needed for each one of us. We've had, through the things that we've seen on our TV screens, read on the internet, maybe experienced for ourselves, we've had a wake-up call to the fact that for all the wonders of modern medicine, we cannot cure everything. We think we can, often, and technology and research has done great things, but they cannot conquer every illness. They cannot make us completely safe. They cannot make us completely whole. So however grateful we are for modern medicine, and we should be hugely grateful for healthcare professionals, for a whole host of things that we are able to enjoy in our society, they are not the complete answer. Healing is needed. And healing is needed because we live in a broken and fractured world. Again, we've seen that very vividly over the last few weeks. And for a great deal of time, for a lot of the time, we can persuade ourselves that it's otherwise, can't we? We can think, well, if all is well with me, and if all is well with those I love, then we can easily slip into thinking the world is a wonderful and safe and good place. And indeed, the world is a place of great beauty and goodness and wonder because it's made by a loving creator. He has his mark and his image upon it. But we know, don't we, that it's a fallen and broken world. The image of the creator is, yeah, there, but marred and disfigured. Present, but distorted it is not as it should be. And if we were tempted to think that that was not the case before, we have been probably persuaded recently that that is the case. Things are not as they should be. Healing is needed. And the Bible has a name for the situation we find ourselves in. It is the curse. The curse. And I don't know about you, but the kind of things that crop up in my mind when I hear the word curse don't seem to connect a lot with what I hear in the Bible. The image that comes into my mind is probably of a Disney villain, right? At best, sort of something slightly comical and animated. At worst, something that seems to smack of kind of witchcraft and the occult. The idea of a curse being something that the Bible talks about seems a strange thing. And yet this idea of a curse is something that runs through the whole of the Bible story. It explains the world we live in. It explains the suffering we experience and those around the world experience. It explains the struggles that we face. And the reason why healing is needed is because of the curse. It's because this world is broken from what it should be. This world is subject to the consequences of sin and death. Our illnesses, our struggles, whether physical or emotional or spiritual, are not the way things should be. There is a break. There's a disconnect between the way things were and the way things are now. Sin and suffering have entered the world, and they brought us under a curse. And we experience that curse in so many different ways in our lives, through anxiety, through illness, through depression, through cancer, through negative self-image, through pain, through sadness, and yes, also through coronavirus. We know this. This is the world we live in. We live in a world that is not as it should be. I live in a world that is broken and not quite right. We know that. And if we didn't know that, we've had it vividly reminded to us over recent weeks. But that is why Revelation 22 is a place for us to come to, particularly on an evening like this. Because where we live is the place of the curse. But where we're going is somewhere else. We may live with the curse, but healing is our destination. Healing is our destination. The Japanese animator Hayao Miyazaki, whose name I probably just done a very bad job of pronouncing, once said this about one of his films. He said, "We depict hatred, but it is to depict that there are more important things. We depict a curse to depict the joy of liberation." And in many ways, you could say that about the whole of the Bible, that we have the picture of a curse, a fallen and broken world, so that we might know the joy of liberation. You could say something similar about the book of Revelation. I don't know how you feel about Revelation. Revelation is not always the easiest book for us to grapple with, is it? I don't know if you've ever had a chance to sort of read through the whole of Revelation. There's a lot of powerful images in there, and it can be quite confusing at times. But despite all its difficulties, Revelation is full of, yes, powerful pictures, but also accessible truths. In particular, as we come to the end of the book, it shows us where we are headed. And in the middle of these verses comes a wonderful promise. No longer will there be any curse. No longer will there be any curse. That is where we're headed. And the picture that goes along with this is this picture of the river of life, and it flows through the streets of the heavenly Jerusalem. And as you trace back the river that it's flowing, it goes right to the center of the city and to the throne room of God himself. The river of life, this source of living water, flows out from God himself amongst his people. And as we've already heard, it's an image that's brought directly from that Old Testament book of Ezekiel. And it's just a joy when these things happen and God says, yeah, this is what you should be doing, because Sheena had picked that passage for the first part of our service. I picked this passage. We hadn't talked to each other. And it's the same image from two parts of the Bible. And it shows us this picture of abundant life flowing through from God's presence to God's people. And by the river of life grows the tree of life, a tree that produces abundant fruit, more than enough for all. And it's a tree that has free and full access to life. Back at the very beginning of the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin was removal from the garden, removal from access to that tree of life. But now at the end of the Bible, where we're headed is a place where the curse is removed. And God's people can come again and taste from the tree of life. It is a picture of the curse overturned. The curse may be where we live, but it's not where we're headed. The curse may be what we experience now, but it's not what God has in store for us. It's what Isaac Watts wrote about in his hymn, Joy to the World. And now we usually sing that at Christmas, which seems a bit sort of peculiar to bring up now, but actually it's not really about Christmas. It's actually about the return of Jesus. And in its third verse, it says this. Oh, sorry, let me go back again. No, there we go. It says this, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infects the ground. He, that's Jesus, comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. His blessings flow into every part of this world and overturns the curse. That is what Jesus will do when he returns. The curse is where we live now. Healing is our destination. The curse is our present, but healing is our future. Healing is the promise of God, full and complete healing from all of the curses, brokenness and pain and suffering. And that is why we have healing services. It's why we can, it's why we should pray for healing now. Because healing is our destination, it's where we're going. It's important for us to remember that we will only experience the complete and utter fullness of healing on that day when Jesus returns. But we know that God delights in healing because that's where he's got us heading. That's where we're going. And so we can't demand healing of God, but we can say to him, give us a foretaste of what is to come. God longs to heal. And each and every healing, whether big or small, is a taste of our future. Every healing is an opportunity to see something of what is to come, to see something of the coming kingdom. Every healing proclaims that God is bringing those who trust and follow him to that place where the curse is overturned. Healing is our destination. And so we want to ask for a glimpse of what we have to come. So if you come for prayer this evening, for healing of whatever it may be, or if you pray with a friend for healing, pray for yourself for healing. We're praying that God would open our eyes and give us a glimpse of the destination to which he is calling us. Healing is our destination. But before we turn to pray, one final thing. Healing is our destination, but it is not our ultimate aim. You see, John could have finished here. He could have finished with the river of life. He could have finished with the tree of life. He could have finished with that powerful word that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations and how we long for the healing of the nations. And wouldn't that be a great place to land? But he doesn't. He doesn't stop with the curse being overturned. He goes on to an even more glorious promise. We will know God. So he says these truths. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. They will see his face. The Lord God will give them light. It is good, it's right, it's wonderful to look forward to the healing that is to come. It's right and good to pray for, to experience God's healing that he grants now. But we must be careful not to be so captured by healing that we think that is our ultimate goal. It is the destination, but it's not the aim. Our aim is to know God, to be with him, to see him face to face and enjoy life in his presence. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the gift that we forget the giver. So we come, we should ask for the gift of healing. Ask for being healed. Ask for that foretaste of heaven. But as we do so, let's not look down at what only God can give us, but look up to the giver, to keep our eyes on God. He is the source of life. He is the true healer. He is our ultimate aim. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a place that you are taking us to, which offers free and complete healing. We thank you for that picture of the river of life, the tree of life, the healing of the leaves. And we long to live there instead of under the curse. We long to be there instead of our broken world. We long to experience healing and completeness instead of brokenness and pain. And so we ask, give us a taste by your grace and mercy, by your power. And as you give us a taste of the coming kingdom, lift our eyes to you, and may we be more captured by who you are for your name's sake. Amen.